Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. So often right here on the broadcast, I talk about essential Christian doctrine, and I say this is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults, the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. And I am so committed to teaching evangelical Christians essential Christian doctrine that I codified the essentials of the historic Christian faith around the memorable acronym DOCTRINE. The importance of essential Christian doctrine can hardly be overstated. Essential Christian doctrine is the North Star by which the very course of Christianity is set. A North Star infers an unchanging reference point. In history, sailors guided their ships by the stars, by the North Star. So essential Christian doctrine, in like fashion, safely guides the church through doctrinal storms that seek to sink it. Essential Christian doctrine is the foundation on which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests, from his deity to the certainty that he will appear a second time to judge the living and the dead. Essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. All other religions compromise, confuse, contradict essential Christian doctrine. Take the Muslims. They dogmatically denounce the doctrine of Christ's unique deity. In fact, they call it an unforgivable sin. The unforgivable sin is shirk. So while they are willing to affirm that Christ was sinless, they are not willing to confirm his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection as the only hope of salvation. But again, to internalize the essentials of the historic Christian faith, I've organized the main and plain things around the word doctrine. To master why you believe and what you believe, I've organized the supporting evidence into easy-to-assimilate bullet points. And so you can get this little flip chart. It's laminated 4x6. Put it in your pocket or purse and continually take what's on these pages and hide them in your heart. Again, this is your Christian manifesto. This is what you've given your life to. If you don't understand essential Christian doctrine, you don't understand the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me for your copy at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also order via the phone when you dial 888-7000-CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up is Gregory, listening on the web in Springfield, Massachusetts. Hi, Gregory.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm well. How are you?
I am wonderful. Got a question. I'm sure you and I line up in the same theology basis on eternal security, but I just recently got married. Did not know. It's not really a problem, but it's created kind of a small wedge of argument, I guess a little small holy war going on in the house. But my wife has got a hold of a book by Daniel Corner called Conditional Security. I need some help, Hank.
It's called the Believer's Conditional Security. And basically his assertion is that eternal security is not a Christian teaching. And he is very vehemently saying that Satan controls teachers who endorse eternal security. And that's why we've never recommended his ministry. It's a ministry that makes a secondary issue, which we can debate vigorously. We don't have to divide over an essential of the historic Christian faith.
Correct. So how do I go about handling that? What should I do? I mean, I've already gone to the throne. Now I've gone to the phone. So what should I do?
Well, I think what you want to do is give your argument for why you believe in eternal security. But at the end of the day, say this is something we can debate vigorously. Uh-huh. It's not a point on which we have to divide.
Okay.
So I think it's important for you to be able to communicate what the Bible says in this regard. But I'll tell you, right within the Christian Research Institute, there are people who disagree with my point of view.
Okay.
We debate this vigorously, and we go out and have a cup of coffee together.
Right.
This is not an essential of the historic Christian faith. But again, I would contend that in Philippians, Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
Correct.
Or John 5:24, that assures us that he who believes has eternal life. Or 1 Corinthians 1, that promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. Or Jude 24, the guarantee that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault.
Exactly.
And I love Ephesians, where Paul says, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Now, why do I believe in eternal security? Well, simply this. God's trees are evergreen for this reason alone. The very one who justifies us is also the one who sanctifies us, which is to say, the one who began the process is the one who brings the process to fruition, to the day that we are not only sanctified, but glorified. Then we are in practice in the new heaven, the new earth, what we are now only in position. Now, I've stated this very firmly and with a great deal of passion in arguments, as I said, right here in the Christian Research Institute with people that I really admire. And we end up saying, you know, at the end of the day, we disagree.
Right.
But that's not a point that should separate me from a coworker, and certainly not you in a holy war with your wife.
Correct. Correct. And that was my whole take on that was exactly the same position. It just seemed like to me that the more that, and we've kind of cut it down. I mean, it hasn't created that type of divide, but only to the point of a theology or a understanding of it, but it seems like the more we talk about it or the more that I have shown her the truth as far as I presented it, she would then in turn turn around and get more like almost dug in like a tick in reference to what Daniel Corner or what she has learned from Daniel Corner's book.
Yeah, well, listen to her, demonstrate love. I mean, that's the big thing, right?
Right.
Demonstrate that you are the absolute real deal by the way you engage in this conversation.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Hank. I just wanted to know what your take on it was, and I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
You got it, Gregory. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Derek, listening on the web in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Derek.
Hello, Hank. I'm concerned about this. Christ died on the cross and suffered the death. And I wonder, why are Christians suffering when Christ already suffered?
Well, we're called to take up our cross and daily follow him. And so
if they
crucified our master, if they persecuted him, then why should you be any different?
Well, I feel like if he already suffered, could we have suffered our own self on the cross instead of Christ?
No, this isn't as though we're trying to do the work of Christ. On the cross, Christ paid it all. That's why Jesus Christ could say, to telestai, secular Koine Greek, the debt has been paid in full. But what happens when you become a Christian is you are now a counter-revolutionary. The world of the first century said, Caesar is Lord. And a Christian would say, no, Caesar is not Lord. Christ is Lord. And the moment you declared Christ as Lord, you were then in the crosshairs of a Caesar cult that said, we are going to persecute you, we are going to terrorize you, we are going to eventually kill you unless you say Caesar is Lord. But the Christian would say, no, I'm going to say Christ is Lord, because I'm not living for the temporary, I'm living for the eternal. And so they set their sights on the eternal, knowing that it's not about getting rid of persecution and being popular in this world. It's ultimately about having an everlasting life in the resurrection with Jesus Christ. And I would remind you of one thing, by the way, and this is very significant. The church has always been forged in the cauldron of persecution. If you want to see a persecuted church, go to the Middle East or go to Asia, and you will see Christians who are suffering for the cause of Christ, but they are counting not their lives worthy even unto death. And Jesus warned us that this was going to happen. Blessed are those who are persecuted, he said, because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines? Talk to Lawrence, listening on Bot Radio, Fresno, California. Hi, Lawrence.
Hi, Hank. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
Hey, guys, we had a Bible study we have every Friday, and the question had come up in reference to the Old Testament. Was it Father the God that had dealt with all the people in the Old Testament, or God the Son? Could you answer that for us, please?
You're going to have to rephrase the question.
Okay, in the Old Testament, such as... I'll give you an example. Just like Moses looked at the burning bush, who actually dealt with Moses? Was it God the Son or God the Father?
Well, I would contend
interaction with the Israelites during the Old Testament days.
Yeah, I would contend that God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, dealt with people not only in Old Testament history but in New Testament history. So in the Old Testament, you have appearances of the angel of the Lord. These are appearances of Christ, pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. You have, if you read Psalm 51, for example, where David is saying, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So you have the Holy Spirit indwelling believers in the Old Testament. You certainly have great examples of the Father interacting directly with people. I talked about this on yesterday's show, where the Lord and two angels appeared to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. I would contend that it is likely the same thing was going on with the burning bush. So it is the one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct, that we interact with both in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and vicariously today.
So the way I understand your illustration there is it was pretty much all three operating distinctively, basically. Is that kind of the way that is?
Well, that's right. All three have always operated distinctively in human history. But remember, when we talk about three, there's a very clear indication that we're talking about distinctions between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. But we still, as believers, only hold to one God by virtue of nature or essence. So when we're talking about ontology, nature or essence, we talk about one what. When we talk about persons or identity within that one what, then we are talking about persons. So again, it's always an equivocation on the word person. So we have to define our terms. On the other side of the break, take some very interesting calls. Looking at the board, there's a question about why I'm against Benny Hinn. We'll address that on the other side of the break. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments. The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute compiled from six insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. To remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI.
That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you've heard Hank Hanegraaff interview outstanding contributing writers to the award-winning Christian Research Journal. Well, now we've put the best of these interviews from 2010 into one exciting audio CD. For your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism and the truth about objective morality. Answer the accusation often raised by militant atheists that the killing of the Canaanites was God's ethnic cleansing. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact. To order The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll return to our callers. Joshua next, listening on WTRU in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, Hank.
How are you?
Good. Before I, you know, I start and stuff like that, I just wanted to, you know, commend your broadcast and stuff, and, you know, I'm starting to listen to it every day, and, you know, I like how you rightly divide the word of truth, but one of the things, you know, that, you know, I ask is that why are you so, like, much against Benny Hinn, you know? And, you know, what, you know, like, you know, the things that he does, like, why are you, like, so much basically against it?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, and I like Benny personally. I have spent a good deal of time with him personally. I've had a number of wonderful dinners with him, sometimes even with my family, and on one occasion with some coworkers.
Yeah.
So I like him as a person, but I have absolute disdain for his theology because it breaks and binds and wounds people. When you tell people that sickness has no place in the body of Christ, and he says that very clearly, emphatically, he says, you never, ever, ever ought to say, I'm sick. How can you be sick if you're the new creation? Say, I'm healed. Don't say, I'm a sinner. The new creation is no sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, that may sound benign, but it's not. It's all formed on the basis of a flawed foundation. The idea being that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, you can create your own reality. Therefore, if you say, I'm sick, you create sickness in your body.
What I would like to say, because in the Bible, it basically says that, you know, you are snared by the words of your mouth and you are taken by the words of your mouth. So if someone constantly, you know, speaks it over themselves that, oh, they're sick, eventually that'll happen, because guess what? We are not God, and I'm not trying to say we're God, but we are his children. It is written that didn't I not say that you are God and you are children of the Most High? You know, like, basically, as God spoke and created his world, so too we could speak, you know, words against ourselves or for ourselves to create our world.
Yeah, but remember, you got to use the text properly, because if you misuse the text, then you're going to mistake the meaning. When Jesus Christ is using that phrase with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he's not trying to let them know that they are little gods. He's saying precisely the opposite. He's quoting Psalm 82, and if you read the context tells us very clearly that those who represented God to God's people would die like the mere mortals that they were. And death would show the everlasting distinction between a human being who is mortal and God who is eternal. So you have to take Christ at his word properly, because if you mistake his meaning, then you're going to get a message that's not biblical at all. The same thing when you quoted a proverb. It is true that we should speak those words that are edifying, but it is not true, as Benny Hinn contends, that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith you can create your reality. That's New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. Benny Hinn is quite certain that Jesus Christ is going to appear physically at his meetings. Yet, if you read the Bible, you see the Bible says that Jesus Christ must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. Now, Benny Hinn is saying one thing, the Bible is saying another. How do you know what's right? Well, you test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Now, when I say that, I'm not making something up. You can hear him in his own words.
I believe, hear this. I believe that Jesus, God's Son, is about to appear physically in meetings and to believers around the world to wake us up. He appeared after his resurrection, and he's about to appear before his second coming. You know, a prophetess sent me a word through my wife right here. And she said, tell your husband that Jesus is going to physically appear in his meetings. I'm expecting to see, I'm telling you that, I feel it's going to happen. I'm careful in how I'm saying it now, because I know the people in Kenya are listening. I know deep in my soul something supernatural is going to happen in Nairobi, Kenya. I feel that. I may very well come back, and you and Jen are coming to, Paul and Jen are coming to Nairobi with me. But Paul, we may very well come back with footage of Jesus on the platform. Now hear this, I'm prophesying this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about to appear physically in some churches and some meetings, and to many of his people, for one reason, to tell you he's about to show up.
You know, what's interesting about that clip is he not only says that he heard from a prophetess what was going to happen in the future, but then he says he himself is prophesying what is going to happen in the future. Well, what happened? Did he come back with footage of Jesus Christ on the platform with he and Jan and Paul Crouch? No, he didn't come up with any footage. He simply stole some information from Benjamin Krem and his idea that Lord Maitreya was going to show up, and he used it in repackaged, papered over Christian terminology. But you can know for certain that Benny Hinn is not a prophet, because he prophesies over and over again, and what he prophesies never comes to pass. He's the same guy who said that Fidel Castro would die in the 1990s. Well, did Fidel Castro die in the 1990s? No, he's still alive today.
The Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Oh my. Some will try to kill him and they will not succeed. But there will come a change in his physical health, and he will not stay in power. And Cuba will be visited of God.
Well, this sounds like the psychic hotline, doesn't it? I mean, if you read the prognostications of the psychics a year after the prognostications, in other words, if you read the prognostications in 2009 and 2010 or 2010 and 2011, you got to laugh, because none of them come to pass. I mean, they've got a track record, and it is that they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. Every now and then, they say something general enough for it to come true, but by and large, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. Benny Hinn does the same thing. And the real hell of it, if I might put it that way, is he says the Spirit of God says. He doesn't say Benny Hinn says. He's simply a channel for the Spirit of God. Now, if the Spirit of God thought Fidel Castro was going to die in the 90s, the Spirit of God is not omniscient. See, this is the problem. He constantly says, God says, as though he's the channel or mouthpiece for God. Much better that Benny would spend a little time learning how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And I'm just not isolating a few prophecies here. I could give you a litany of them. I don't have time, but I am going to give you one more. This is where he talks about the homosexual community.
The Lord also tells me to tell you in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America. But he will not destroy it with what many minds have thought him to be. He will destroy it with fire. And many will turn and be saved, and many will rebel and be destroyed.
So now he gave exact parameters. He said in the mid-90s,
right,
about 94, 95, God would destroy the homosexual community of America.
Right.
Did that happen?
No. It has not. I still see them.
But let me ask you a further question. Should we even be applauding as Christians a statement like that by a quote-unquote Christian leader?
What, that homosexuals will be destroyed?
Yeah.
I mean, if God revealed that, listen, I'm going to, like, God revealed to Noah, listen, I'm going to kill all mankind because of the violence in which that is on the earth. So, I mean...
Well, that's not the question I'm asking. The question I'm asking is this. Should we applaud the destruction of a whole community of people? Should we be happy about it and applaud?
No. We shouldn't be happy that homosexuals, you know, are going to die and go to hell. We should not, you know, be happy about that. But should we warn them?
Well,
that, you know, they're going to, you know, if they don't stop what they're doing, God will, you know, visit them. Yes, we should.
That's another question. The issue here is that Benny Hinn made a prophecy. He said by 95, we won't have to worry about them anymore. They're all going to be destroyed. There are going to be some that are going to turn around and be saved, but many will rebel and they're going to be destroyed. It's going to happen by 1995. Nothing of the sort happened. So it's a false prophecy again. Again, he presumes to be speaking for the Lord, but in fact is not speaking for the Lord at all. And to my question, no, we should never applaud the destruction of the wicked. We should pray. We should be ambassadors. We should use our time and talent and treasure to fulfill the cultural mandate and the Great Commission, but we should not applaud the destruction of the wicked. And I think that we should begin to listen to the prophet Jeremiah again, who said, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their own hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? I think it's important for us to go back to the Bible rather than conjuring up all kinds of esoteric statements that have no basis in reality. We'll be right back with more of your questions. Stay tuned.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back after this short break.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Archaeologists are regularly unearthing new discoveries about the ancient world, who lived where and when, what life was like at specific times in history. But according to some rather vocal skeptics, there is little or no historical evidence for the reliability of the Bible. Are these skeptics right? Is the evidence so lacking that we can no longer trust the Bible as the divine word of God? Hank Hanegraaff dispels these myths and gives you a simple and memorable tool to know for certain that the Bible is the most reliable book in all antiquity in the archaeologist's spade. Our gift to you when you partner with the Christian Research Institute to defend the truth of the Bible. Help defend the truth with your gift and request the special booklet equipping you with the historical facts for the reliability of Scripture. You can call us at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org to request your copy today. The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org. The millennial generation has been characterized as selfish, sexually permissive, and technologically addicted. Yet a deeper exploration reveals a generation that has been raised and therefore shaped by the baby boomers. But like every generation since the dawn of time, millennials need to know that they are broken and sinful, and that they live in a universe created by a God so loving that He gave His only Son so that we may have life. Learn how you can reach this generation with the truth of the gospel when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Simply call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. If you are hanging on, please be patient with me. I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour. Once I go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. But I want to park on this Benny Hinn issue for just a moment. I'm very stirred up in my spirit about it. I gave you some false prophecies which Benny Hinn made. They are categorically, definitively false prophecies. I gave you some as false theology, and people still ask me, why do you have to bring this up? The reason I bring this up, First of all, it's in response to people's questions. But second, I am not here to be politically correct. The one thing I will tell you is that you can bank on this fact. I'm not going to tell you what itching ears want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. Whether it's popular, whether it makes me politically correct, isn't the issue. I'm going to tell you the truth. The one thing I want people to say about me when I'm in my casket is, he told me the truth. That's what really matters. When you don't tell people the truth, you may be able to develop a massive platform, but in the end, it crumbles to dust. Now, when I talk about Benny Hinn's false prophecies, I'm not isolating a couple of little mistakes that he made. This is the tenor of his ministry. And again, as I said, ideas have consequences. Here's Benny Hinn talking about what he sees for the Trinity Broadcasting Network, which is a purveyor of heresy. He says, and I quote, "You're going to have people raised from the dead watching this network. You're going to have people raised from the dead watching TBN. I see it in the spirit. Awesome. Jesus, I praise you. People around the world who lose loved ones will say to undertakers, not yet. I want to take my dead loved one and place him in front of that TV set for 24 hours. Now, think about that. That might sound humorous to you, but let me tell you something. Christmas Day, at our house, we lost my mother-in-law. She had a massive heart attack. One moment she was in this world, the next she was gone. Think about the impact on my family. Christmas Day, we went to the hospital, stood around a still warm body with grief in our hearts, wishing we could do anything to reverse the process. If you love someone, that's how you feel. In that moment, we were vulnerable. And if some guy with a big platform and a bigger Bible in their hand told me not to bury, but to live in denial and to take that body and put it in front of a TV set and believe that body was going to rise from the dead at the most vulnerable time in a person's life, they might well believe it. They might well have their whole world turned on its head. They might lose perspective for what really matters. They might even forget that life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow, and that the real thing we long for is not long, robust lives, but in the end, being resurrected to new life. At the moment of death, we are vulnerable. Never forget the man who heard that people were being raised from the dead in Pensacola, Florida. Lost his little baby. Packed the baby on ice, in an ice chest. Drove across the country. Brokenhearted. Vulnerable. hoping that what the televangelists were saying happened to people all over the world was going to happen to his baby. What I'm saying is that these people ply their trade on vulnerable people. And so says Benny Hinn, I actually see loved ones picking up the hands of the dead and letting them touch the screen. And people are getting raised as their hands are touching the screen. If he had one single example of that happening, it would give him some credibility, but he has none. When I asked him to send me his three best documented healings, he eventually did, and all three turned out to be bogus. And there's a dark underside, because if you buy into his theology, or that of Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen or a host of others, the idea is, if a loved one dies, you might have had a part in that. In fact, the loved one themselves might have had a part in it. Why? Because the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. They say this is a spiritual principle. It works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. I've talked about this before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, in fact, documented it in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. New Thought practitioner Joe Vitale, contributor to the wildly popular book titled The Secret, asked by Larry King on national television whether a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally raped and murdered, attracted the horror to herself. He said, we are attracting everything to ourselves. There is no exception. So not only do you lose your loved one, but you live with the guilt. Now, I'm not saying there are not noteworthy differences between Joel Osteen and these kinds of metaphysical practitioners, there are differences. But they're united in the belief that the force of faith is so powerful that even the master of the universe is bound by its irrevocable reality. That's why in Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, I pull back the veil, I expose the fatal flaws, the feel-good fallacies that are now spreading like cancer within the body of Christ. If I didn't think there was a cure for the cancer, I wouldn't talk about it. But there is a way back to spiritual health and wholeness, and that is ultimately what we seek for. As much as I would like to say otherwise, the reality is this. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, said Jesus, I have overcome the world. It is not about health and happiness. It's about holiness. Christ did not come to give us health and wealth. Christ came to set us apart. We are those who say, not Caesar is Lord. We are those who say, Christ is Lord. We are those who are at the very root of it, counter-revolutionaries, counting not our lives worthy even unto death. We are not secret agents, we're ambassadors. We want to transform a world, not become a microcosm of the world. And the problem with faith theology is it is New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. It is not Christian theology. It is a very poor caricature of Christian theology, in which you have the leader saying being poor is a sin, or you create your own world the same way God created his own world. He speaks and things happen. You speak and they happen. Or as John Hagee put it in another horrific statement, the Jews were not rejecting Jesus as Messiah. It was Jesus who refused to be Messiah to the Jews. Or keep saying it, I have equality with God. Talk yourself into it. Or God cannot do anything in this earth realm unless we give him permission. Nebuchadnezzar found out that that wasn't the case after spending a number of years hanging out with the heifers. Bad theology has dramatic implications in the lives of people. And we have to hold accountable the false prophets who steal from one another, dreams supposedly from God, who keep wagging their tongues saying the Lord says this and that. As Jeremiah said, these people do not benefit my people in the least, says the Lord. The Ministry of the Christian Research Institute is designed to give you the discernment skills so you do not fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie, an empty bauble that glistens in the sunlight, but in the end vaporizes, leaving you empty and thirsty. The real answer is not magic solutions, but getting back to the majesty of God's Word. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of you hanging on. I will get to you in the next hour. I'm going to stay right here. If you want to call in your question during the next hour, here's the number to dial for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. 888-ASK-HANK. Start dialing that number right now. So long for everybody else.
Thank you for joining us on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts as well. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the Word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271.